Hi, my name is Wyndham, and I'm a horrible underachiever.
Welcome to the Perfect Album Side. One idea, six songs, infinite possibilities.
This is the Perfect Album Side podcast. Welcome, welcome, welcome. My name is Steve. His name is Wyndham. I'm ready to go, my man.
I'm ready to go. Let's excuse the pleasantries. Although I will say this, it just hit me as we were listening to the opening track, the theme music.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, just we don't say this often enough. I don't. I shouldn't include you. I don't say this enough. Clay Haywood is responsible for that music, and it's awesome. Clay, we're thankful for you, man.
Yeah.
Love you, brother.
Yeah, he whipped that together for us one afternoon, and it's, well, a year later, we're still listening to it.
Yeah, I don't think I give him the credit he deserves, but okay, never mind all that. I'm ready.
Today is the Perfect Album Side. Before we get to the Perfect Album Side, I have a quick apology to make for last week's episode.
I'm so interested in this.
It's not that big of a deal. It's just I said something that was factually inaccurate, and I heard it. When I listened back to it, I looked it up and I was like, well, that's wrong.
I'm listening.
And the historians around the world will ridicule me if I don't correct it.
Well, not if you don't say it. Let's hear it.
I can't believe I'm saying these words, but we brought up the Boston Massacre on the previous Perfect Album Side podcast.
Uh-huh.
And I said, I made reference to it being on March 5th, 1775. And that's wrong. It was on March 4th, 1770. I was 5 years and one day off.
Everybody knew that. We were just hoping you would find it in your heart to do the right thing.
The embarrassment that I have felt for the last 7 days.
And you call yourself a history major.
I don't. No one has ever called me that. But I said it so matter-of-factly, and I was so confident that I was right.
I think I fell for the conviction in which you said it.
Yeah, wow. If you say things with conviction, people will believe you.
Oh, totally.
The moon is made of cheese.
Oh, absolutely.
Clearly. Today's Perfect Album Side podcast, the Perfect Album Side of 1980s movie theme songs.
Yes, now let's not get this confused with songs that make you think of
the movie.
Movies from 1980s.
It's the theme song.
These are the theme songs, almost taken from the original score.
Yeah, I think score is the right word to use. I think almost all of mine are instrumental scores from the movie. That's what we're talking about. For example,
okay,
we are doing this only from the 1980s, so we are ruling out anything that came out pre-1980, which would include, for example, the theme to the movie Star Wars.
I never saw Star Wars.
It's actually pretty good. You should check it out.
Okay.
It went on to sell a few tickets, make a few movies. Anyway, so Star Wars would not count, but that's the type of thing we're going for. A big instrumental score, huge recognizable scores that everyone on Earth, you hear it, you know it, and you're instantly taken to that movie because of the theme song. We're going for the Perfect Album side of those theme songs.
Yeah, and so often... And actually, more than so often, Steve and I will have a topic that we're working on. But you got to remember, these topics are almost living things, right? And on one day, we may be doing a topic, and on the next day, we may decide to revise the topic slightly or completely overhaul it. And I think this was a product of a revision.
Well, we said initially, let's do movie scores, movie theme songs.
No framework at all. No time, no decade.
And there are, you know, tens of thousands of movies to choose from. The topic was too big. So as we like to do, we narrowed it down to a decade. And, you know, the 80s and 90s and early 2000s is our sweet spot.
Yeah.
So we started with 80s and said, you know what, we can do movie themes of the 90s a year from now. So today, 1980s movies, only from the 1980s, and a piece of music that did not show up on a movie prior to the 1980s.
Correct. And I actually, as we were talking, as we were getting everything ready, I had to review my Perfect Album Side to make sure I stayed within the assigned decade, and thankfully, I've done that. Steve?
Believe me, if you hadn't, I would call you out publicly.
I'm no doubt about it. I'm ready.
I am ready. As we discussed 1980s movie theme songs, this particular piece of music was going to be on my Perfect Album Side, whether it was 80s or all time, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s, etc. This one was going to make my list. First song I thought of, here we go. But before I hit play on this song.
Minus three.
Yours three. I think it's going to be three, and I think it could be higher. I think this is the first Perfect Album Side podcast in a while where we're in jeopardy of going 6 for 6. And as all of you know, the day we go 6 for 6, we take off the headphones and call this podcast a complete
scorched earth. Set it all on fire, walk away from it, and I can finally get to that.
Our minds will have melded into one at that point, and we can...
Yeah. Well, yeah, right.
Yeah. I think it's possible. However unlikely, it's possible.
I don't think so. I've got one on here that I would be shocked if you had on yours. But
let's go to
work. We'll find that out later in the episode.
First one I thought of. It's the theme to Top Gun, as you know. It's called Top Gun theme song.
I'm so creative.
The Top Gun anthem, to be specific. The Top Gun anthem was the first song I thought of when we thought of this. Obviously from the 1986 movie Top Gun, the composer, Harold Faltermeyer, he performs it along with Steve Stevens, former Billy Idol guitarist Steve Stevens, director of the movie Tony Scott. I don't know what else to say. It's a massive anthem, and everyone on earth knows it's from Top Gun, and it's freaking awesome.
Yeah, and when I hear that lick by Steve Stevens, I instantly think, there's a little Faltermeyer for you.
Oh, man.
I think of a couple things. One, when I hear that lick right there, Steve Stevens, his history in rock.
Yeah.
With Billy Idol, that's amazing. And Michael Jackson, don't forget. Perfect song for the Perfect Album Side today. I mean, this is it.
Are you trying to tell me this is not on your Perfect Album Side?
I said I had two things to say. The second one is, it's on my Perfect
Thank
Album Side.
Goodness. Okay. Boom! All right. I was like, if this one's not on there, then we've gotten it wrong.
Well, as we know, our Perfect Album Side, mine and yours, we can use each artist just
only,
once.
Only once.
So for me, it came down to this one
and
Axel F.
And Axel F.
Which Faltermeyer also is famous for.
So here's the funny part to that. I had created my Perfect Album Side. I had it all ready to go. I started doing research and figuring out what I'm going to say about it.
Same.
And it was only then that I realized that Harold Faltermeyer was responsible for this and Axel F. And I was like, shit! Yeah. I can't use the same artist. So I had to make some changes last night to my Perfect Album Side because of that. Harold Faltermeyer, not only is he responsible for Axel F. from Beverly Hills Cop, this song, if those weren't famous enough, but he's also responsible for the music on one of my favorite movies of all time, Fletch.
And Fletch Lives.
And Fletch Lives, of course.
Real quick, I don't want to jump in the way.
No.
This part of the theme song doesn't get enough attention.
The guitar solo within the tune?
Yeah, this is very Eric Johnson, very Steve Vai, very Satriani-like.
And a little bit of Eddie Van Halen at the end of it as he starts doing the tapping at the end of this part.
I love it. But this song, you don't hear this part very often because you're just used to that original lick.
Steve Stevens might be a pretty underrated guitarist.
Yeah, now, so I ran through some of the groups and artists he's played with. Michael Jackson on Dirty Diana, Robert Palmer, Rick Ocasek, his solo. I couldn't have told you he had a solo run. The Cars, Rick Ocasek.
Yeah.
And, of course, well-known for playing with Billy Idol. He also, when Vince Neil got kicked out of Motley Crue, Steve Stevens was the guitarist for Vince Neil's band.
He has played he's played with a lot of people, but Harold Faltermeyer, the composer and the piano player on this, has also collaborated with an enormous amount of other musicians. Donna Summer, Patti LaBelle, Barbara Streisand, Glenn Frey, Blondie, Laura Branigan, LaToya Jackson, Billy Idol, Jennifer Rush, Bonnie Tyler, and of course the Pet Shop Boys. Who could forget the Pet Shop Boys?
That is so funny. I had that same list, or close enough, and the very last artist that I mentioned was Pet Shop Boys. So funny.
Outstanding.
Also won a Grammy, Stone Cold.
That particular piece of music won the 1987 Grammy for the best pop instrumental performance of 1987. Harold Faltermeyer and Steve Stevens playing on that one, piano and guitar. To me, that was the ultimate example of what we were going for today.
Ultimate example. I love it. With what we do every week, weekend and week out of the Perfect Album Side, that song is the ultimate for this particular topic. I love it.
And because it is on my Perfect Album Side and it is on your Perfect Album Side, that makes it on the Perfect Album Side. So that will be track one of the Perfect Album Side. What's the first song you got besides the Top Gun anthem?
Well, let's not forget Top Gun, the second one, Maverick.
It's coming out next week.
Yeah, that's right.
So for those of you that are listening to this in the future, it's coming out this coming week on Tuesday. I can't wait to go see it.
I can't wait to go see it either. It's supposed to be pretty good, but I'll say this. That's one of the reasons why that song, Top Gun Anthem, beat out Axel F for me, because of that movie's coming out. It's very relevant to pop culture.
I was really excited about Axel F, and I didn't realize that Harold Faltermeyer was responsible for both, but he is.
I didn't either.
Man, that's pretty to have two amazing songs like that. What do you got?
I'm kicking off my Perfect Album Side. I mean, you got to know that. Any guesses?
It's Batman.
Yeah,
it is Batman. 1989 Batman. Now,
not the stuff they've been putting out for the last however many years.
Jack Nicholson, Michael Keaton, Batman.
Yeah, which, I'm sorry, that's the best. To me, that's the best Batman. The original with Jack Nicholson as the Joker.
I could not agree more.
Welcome back to the Perfect Album Side, Danny Elfman. This whole thing won a Grammy, the entire score, not just the Batman theme. Sounds very... Now you get some familiarity here as everybody comes in and all the instruments come in. I think it's criminal, Steve, that Danny Elfman doesn't get more credit for being a musical badass.
Danny Elfman, we've talked about him on the Perfect Album Side before, as he is a founding member of the band Oingo Boingo.
That's exactly right. He's also responsible for the Simpsons theme, hashtag Past Topic Alert,
that's
TV
right.
Theme songs, that's episode 16, and lead singer of Oingo Boingo. This guy's done a lot. Scrooge, Back to School, Edward Scissorhands. But this was the original theme to one of the biggest movies of this decade. Do you remember how big a deal this was? The marketing, you know, it's one of those movies they just put a logo out there and everybody knew what was coming. But what's interesting about this is another famous artist was responsible for some music on this soundtrack.
Prince.
And he goes by the name of Prince.
Yeah.
But he had the vocal soundtrack. Elfman was just responsible for the instrumental score. Huge cast, huge movie. I just felt like when this movie came out, I felt like the world stood still. Everybody wanted to see what this was all about. You know,
it was a big deal.
It was a big deal.
Prince played on Saturday Night Live at the height of this movie coming out to play Bat Dance, you know, his single from the thing, and he played on Saturday Night Live. I mean, it was a cultural phenomenon in 1989. And from what I understand, the producers wanted Prince to do the entire soundtrack. And I only know that because it's also on my Perfect Album Side.
Yow!
That just happened. Press pause?
I did. I pressed pause.
Batman, absolutely.
That's two for two.
This could be the...
I'm starting to sweat.
Yeah, and this was the final addition to my Perfect Album Side.
Okay, Top Gun was my third installment.
So John Peters and Peter Gruber, the producers, they wanted Prince to write all of the music for The Joker, and they wanted Michael Jackson to do all the romance songs. Danny Elfman kind of combined the styles of Prince and Jackson together for the entire film score. Tim Burton, the director, said, you know, he was pretty opposed to the idea of Prince and Michael Jackson coming in, because he's like, my movies are not commercial like Top Gun. So I thought that was a funny quote, considering that was our last song.
Yeah.
My commercials are not commercial like Top Gun. So he got Oingo Boingo and friends to help out.
Yeah, so I saw that Michael Jackson was involved, but the final product of the music around this movie from 1989, did Michael Jackson, because they wanted, If I remember right and what I read, they wanted Michael Jackson to be responsible for the romantic songs of the movie.
I don't think Michael Jackson had anything to do with, with Batman in the end.
That would have been...
Again, Tim Burton was opposed to the idea of having Michael Jackson.
Yeah, he put a stop to it. How could you put a stop to Michael Jackson being involved? I mean, and Steve Stevens on Top Gun, Michael Jackson. I mean, it's full circle, isn't it?
Yeah, it's an incestuous...
It makes sense, doesn't it?
It's an incestuous business. All right, Batman was on your perfect album side. It was also on my perfect album side. We are two for two with overlap. It is on the perfect album side. That's incredible.
Glad to have you back, my man. Danny Elfman, brother.
I'll tell you what, we're only 15 minutes in. We might play six songs and that's it. So,
yeah,
and these are
shorter
songs.
Saturday back.
Yeah, this is going to be a short podcast. The next song on my perfect album side, I think there's a solid chance it's on yours.
I'm really nervous.
All right, for those of you that do not know, I had to let those violins play through. That melody is E.T.'s theme song. I should have let you guess that.
This is me using my E.T. finger.
Oh, yes. I thought you were pointing at something. You were pointing at home.
Phone home.
Flying is the theme song from E.T., the Extraterrestrial, by John Williams, 1982's E.T., John Williams, probably the most famous of all film score composers. It's not even close, but John Williams, speaking of Star Wars.
And every time I look at his roster, his resume of songs that he's been involved with, I'm still surprised. And I always find one that I had no idea he was involved with.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Spielberg's got this guy. I mean, they're thick as thieves, peas and carrots, if you will.
I think if Steven Spielberg is making a movie, his first call is to John Williams. Hey, I'm making a movie. What's it about? Spaceships. I'm in. What's it about? It's about Seabiscuit. Yeah, I'm in. Count me. Like,
it's about
matter.
A killer shark.
Sure, I'm in.
You know what? It doesn't matter anymore.
You know
I'm
what?
In.
We're going to win some Oscars together. It's going to be fun. E.T., the piece itself is called Flying. It won the Academy Award for Best Original Score, a BAFTA Award for Best Film and Music, the Golden Globe Award for Best Original Score, the Grammy Award for Best Instrumental Composition. It won, as we've said previously on the Perfect Album Side podcast, it won all the damn awards.
All
this
that you
particular
can win.
Piece of music. First of all, let me ask, is it on your Perfect Album Side?
It is not.
Oh, thank God. We get to do this another day.
I have a reason, and I won't go into that reason now.
Well, I'm sure it's related to John Williams and one of his 9 billion other movie scores.
This was up there for me. Obviously, you know, this was such a feel-good movie of the 80s, and which made it incredible. And to me, the theme of that movie goes along with that feeling and that emotion of feel good.
I'll tell you, that's one of the things I ran into this week as I was playing all of these scores. Emotions from being 8 years old were suddenly brought way back to the surface. I mean, I remember being really, really excited to see E.T. fly across the moon.
Absolutely.
And this brought me back there very quickly. One of the interesting... I've actually watched an interview on YouTube with John Williams as he was talking about recording this, writing and recording this particular piece and the score for E.T., and he said, you know, they played this part at the end of the movie, as they're flying on the bikes and whatnot. And he said, you know, I couldn't get the timing right. You know, he's watching the movie and trying to time the music to go along with it. And he's like, I couldn't get the way Spielberg had cut the film. I just couldn't get the timing right. So Spielberg comes into the studio, sees me having trouble with the orchestra and getting the timing right. So he said, you know what? Turn off the projectors. He goes, just play the best music you can and whatever timing you want. He goes, just make it sound awesome, and then I'll recut the movie to fit your timing. And that's never been done.
Never been done. And to me, that's pure credibility of John Williams right there.
And that's, you know, trust. The trust between Spielberg and Williams is unbelievable. This one won. It was the fourth movie in history to accomplish the feat of winning the Academy Award, the Golden Globe, the Grammy, and the BAFTA. the previous two award winners, excuse me, it was the third, were Star Wars and Jaws, as you mentioned. There have only been six movies to ever have won all four awards. They were all by John Williams.
Oh, wow. Okay, so do you know them all?
I don't.
I was going to say, I thought Titanic would be in there, but I don't think Williams had anything to do with Titanic.
I don't think, yeah.
That's incredible.
I feel sure that several of them are Star Wars movies.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. John Williams and Steven Spielberg made My Perfect Album Side for the piece Flying from E.T. That made My Perfect Album Side. Did not make yours, so no. The podcast continues.
And I'm not going to give anything away, but call it a hunch that when we put together the Perfect Album Side at the end of the episode, Mr. Williams may be there.
There were two or three pieces of music by John Williams that I was looking at for the Perfect Album Side. To me, for emotional reasons, this one had to make it. But there was one that I had that was right next to it.
Well,
what's next on yours?
Let me take you back to 1985 Stone Cold, and I'll tell you what made this me nervous about this particular song. I didn't know if we had enough road to hit 88.
I see what you did there.
Everybody, please. I mean, do I even need to say it? It's the Back to the Future theme, Alan Silvestri, 1985. Silvestri wrote this when he was 35 years old.
Good God. That's not fair.
Hi, my name is Wyndham, and I'm a horrible underachiever.
Hi, Wyndham.
Hi.
Welcome to the meeting.
Yes, right. So the big three of this movie, Spielberg, there he is again. How many times will we have a Spielberg movie on here?
I thought this was Robert Zemeckis.
Spielberg was on the... Zemeckis directed it.
Okay.
Spielberg was involved.
Producer.
Yeah.
Okay.
How many Spielberg movies do you think we see today? Because we have gotten two so far. We hit four?
No, three tops.
Three tops, okay.
Well, with honorable mentions, four.
Okay, Spielberg, Zemeckis, Gale, Bob Gale, all sat down with Alan Silvestri and said, whatever you do, make it huge. And he did it. And the movie had already secured Huey Lewis. But what other famous artist from the 80s was also involved in this movie?
Chuck Berry? Marvin Berry? Marvin Berry?
Do you remember the scene where Michael J. Fox shows up and needs to wake up Marty McFly?
Edward Van Halen.
Edward Van Halen,
yes,
is responsible for that guitar riff. The whole band didn't want to do it. Every time we talk about Eddie Van Halen, it doesn't include Van Halen. It includes just him. But the band, Van Halen, did not want anything to do with this movie.
That's crazy.
So Eddie Van Halen said, I'll do it.
Yeah.
Incredible.
So Alan Silvestri?
Alan Silvestri.
Robert Zemeckis. Can you name the orchestra that performed this?
Oh, gosh. Can I answer your question with a question?
Yes. It's on My Perfect Album.
Yes. Tell me who the orchestra is then.
The Out of Time Orchestra.
Oh, incredible.
Out of Time, which is the license plate of the DeLorean, Out of Time.
Amazing.
So they named the orchestra the Out of Time Orchestra after the DeLorean, the time machine. So much like Spielberg and John Williams, Alan Silvestri and Robert Zemeckis also have worked together on a billion movies. Who Framed Roger Rabbit, Forrest Gump, Castaway, The Polar Express... Silvestri has done non-Zuckerberg movies, Zemeckis movies, Predator, The Abyss, yes. Father of the Bride, The Bodyguard, The Parent Trap, Stuart Little, The Mummy Returns, G.I. Joe, The Rise of Cobra, as well as the Avengers films. It's not a bad resume.
Well, Predator's at the top of the list for me. What's the matter, Billy? You've been acting a little squirrely lately.
That was phenomenal. Make sure you press pause there. A two-time Academy Award and Golden Globe nominee and a three-time Saturn Award and Primetime Emmy Award recipient. The coolest thing I found out about Alan Silvestri, besides every movie we just talked about and the Back to the Future and the Out of Time thing, he was responsible for the television show Chips. the music on Chips.
Oh, man. I loved that
when
theme
I saw
song.
That, I'm like, I don't even care about the Back to the Future stuff. The fact that he made Chips, he's on the perfect album side.
That's amazing.
That this particular...
It's a good nugget.
I thought this was amazing. On the Billboard 200 of albums, this album goes number 12.
That's a big deal.
It's not too shabby.
Some of the albums, soundtrack albums that we're talking about today had some pretty good performance. I mean, the Batman theme, Danny Elfman, went to top 30 on the 200. So that's incredible. 12.
Hello, my name is James McMahon. I've been a music journalist for over 20 years. I used to be the features editor of UK Music Bible NME. I was the editor of the greatest rock magazine on the planet, Kerrang. I've interviewed Deep Breath, U2, Paul McCartney, Coldplay, Metallica, My Chemical Romance, Brian Eno, Muse, Iron Maiden, Lily Allen, Smashing Pumpkins, Rage Against the Machine. Oh, I could be here all day. And if you like deep, informed interviews with the biggest and most interesting acts in music, you need to be listening to my podcast, conveniently named the James McMahon Music Podcast. Wherever you get your podcasts,
Alan Silvestri, he also has a license to fly a jet plane.
Oh, is that right?
What have you done with your life?
Well, I didn't write this at 35.
He's also got a doctorate of music from Berklee College of Music.
Nope, I don't have that either.
Yeah. There's a lot of things we don't have that Mr. Silvestri does, including a spot on the perfect album side.
You know, I had some time this afternoon, but I think I'm going to be using that to take inventory of my life.
A lot of decisions to make. All right. Yeah. I'm lost because so many of these were on yours and on mine.
It's your turn. I'm going to lob it back to you.
It's my turn.
But we're at three.
We're at an over-under of three out of four so far.
We'll hit five easily.
This one's going to happen too. Here we go. There it is.
I mean,
instantly recognizable piano part of Chariots of Fire by the artist Evangelos Odysseus Papanosolioio, otherwise known as Vangelis.
Vangelis. R.I.P.
Really?
He just died 2 days ago.
You're kidding me.
And I was bursting wanting to tell you.
I didn't know that.
This is on my perfect album side. I mean, let's just cut to the chase.
That's four. Yeah. That's incredible.
He just died on Thursday. I was literally wanting to call you so bad and be like, you won't believe this.
I feel so uneducated. I didn't know he died.
He just died 2 days ago.
Vangelis, obviously responsible for the theme to Chariots of Fire. A Greek musician, a badass.
Yeah, and this song went to number one, I believe, to this day, Stone Cold. Number one hit, and I believe to this day, it's the only piece by a Greek artist to top a U.S. chart.
I have that written down in my notes, the same.
But that's still not the most astonishing stat that
you're
I think
you're trying to
tell
me. There's a more astonishing stat than he's the only Greek performer to hit number one on the Billboard Hot 100. Number one hit with an instrumental.
Unbelievable. And, you know, they're using synth on this song, which wasn't really done in the 70s. But I'll tell you something. You may have this down, so I don't want to steal
a
huge stat. This hit number one on the Hot 100 after a five-month run on the chart. 22 weeks.
22 weeks, and it climbs the charts over 22 weeks to hit number one in May of 1982. Unbelievable climb on the charts.
It was on the chart for nearly one half year. That's unbelievable.
Speaking of unbelievable, for me, how did this song not come up? Speaking of hashtag past topic alerts, sports anthems.
I get that. I think this song should have been associated with the other movies of the 80s episode we did. I mean, and yeah. That's what I'm disappointed with.
Chariots of Fire is somewhat synonymous with the Olympics. It was played at the 1984 Summer Olympics in Los Angeles, on the telecast, the 1988 Summer Olympics in Seoul, the 1984 Winter Olympics in Sarajevo. It has become somewhat synonymous. It was also played in the 1996 Olympics right before the 100-meter dash final here in Atlanta, of which I was in attendance.
Oh, that's cool.
And they played this song right before the race. Do you know who won the 100-meter dash in the 1996 Olympics?
I believe it was Michael Johnson.
That would be incorrect. Canadian Donovan Bailey. Michael Johnson did not make the final heat, but he did win the 200.
That's it. The 200 was his jam. And he set the record in the 200.
World record in the 200.
World fastest man.
Donovan Bailey set the world record in the 100 right after this song was played. One more noteworthy thing of this song. During the London Games in 2016, 2012?
Either 8 or 12, I think.
Doesn't matter. During the Olympic Summer Games in London, during the opening ceremonies, they played this song, and they had Mr. Bean, a.k.a. Rowan Atkinson,
yeah,
come out there and play it. And he just taps that one note, dun-dun-dun-dun-dun, you know, the very beginning of the song. And then he needs a tissue, so he's trying to get a tissue while playing this one note. I suggest, if you have not seen that, go find it, as it is extraordinarily funny. Here's the one note he's playing. On the synthesizer.
That's awesome.
And he can't reach the tissues. It's extraordinarily funny. What else you got on this one?
Yeah, so a couple things. You know, a few things, actually. I don't know if this disqualifies me from this topic, but I've never seen this movie.
Guilty as charged.
Okay,
me too.
So I've never seen it. I'm coming out. I'm coming clean. All right. This won an Academy Award. All right.
Vangelis
refused to attend the ceremony.
Why?
Fear of flying.
That's bizarre.
Isn't that crazy?
Fear of flying. How can you be a world-class musician and not be able to fly?
Well, they even offered to get him on a boat. He still said no, no, no.
Well, then he had bigger issues than flight, then, if he wouldn't get on a boat either.
I think so.
I'm just not crazy about boats.
Maybe
Jesus
not.
Christ, Kathy, you're in the Navy, for God's sake. Sorry.
And it all comes back to Top Gun.
No, it's A Few Good Men.
Oh, A Few Good Men.
Yeah.
Sorry. Tom Cruise.
Tom Cruise. Just not you, that crazy
Lieutenant
about
Weinberg.
Sorry, we've gotten off topic. Chariots of Fire, from the movie Chariots of Fire, 1981.
But I'll say this, I've not seen the movie. What this reminds me of is the scene in the original Vacation when Rusty and Clark are running into Wally World.
Of course.
That's how I know this song.
I have that in my notes to talk about Wally World and... Anthony Michael Hall and Chevy Chase sprinting through the parking lot of Wally World.
And looking at each other and like,
I'm
going to get you.
Such joy.
Yeah. Oh, man. That's awesome. But we're talking about Chariots of Fire and the world-famous chart-topping composer,
Vangelis.
I feel like running a race right now, if you want to know the truth.
Okay, well, we'll see you later. I'll finish up the episode. Don't worry.
Yes, it's on my perfect album side, and it's on your perfect album side, hence...
It is on the perfect album side. We're getting good at that, as we've done that four times now.
I think it stops there.
And it's your turn. What is the next song on your perfect album side? We're going to be done with this thing in the next few minutes. So, well, let's go get lunch.
Might not have been the most obvious choice, Stone Cold, but I think you catch that catchy tune there. Do you know it?
It's so familiar, that little part right there. What instrument is that?
That's the penny whistle.
Is it really? Could be.
I don't know.
That melody is so familiar, but I can't place it yet. Don't tell me, but...
Okay. I'll tell you everything except what it is.
Okay.
It's by famous composer Hans Zimmer, 1989. I think it's a great song. It's a perfect song for the title of the movie, which I've told Steve I wouldn't reveal. This was a big deal in the late 80s when this movie came out. Hans Zimmer did all sorts of great music. He did Twister, he did Lion King, he did Gladiator. And honestly, I think he's more famous for Pirates of the Caribbean, specifically He's a Pirate, which was on my original Perfect Album side before we bracketed the in 1980s. The 80s. He's clearly a stud in the movie score space, but this
is
really...
Is this... No. Edward Scissorhands?
Nope.
I don't know.
We've talked about Edward Scissorhands already today, but that's not by Hans
Zimmer. So familiar.
I'm ready to tell you when you tell
me. Yeah, go for it.
This is called Driving from the movie Driving Miss Daisy.
Son of a bitch.
And the movie was a huge hit. It won Best Picture. It won Best Actress. It won Best Screenplay. And, of course, the big daddy of all movie awards, it got Best Makeup.
Morgan Freeman and Best Actress...
Jessica Tandy. And Dan Aykroyd.
Yeah, of course.
You know, it's crazy. Dan Aykroyd, who's got an incredible movie resume, he sneaks into some really good movies.
He also snuck into the filming of We Are the World.
That's amazing.
What the hell?
He snuck into Pearl Harbor. He snuck into Driving Miss Daisy. It's crazy.
He's also got a small part in Ghostbusters.
A small part in Ghostbusters and the Blues Brothers and Trading Places. But obviously a huge movie. Jessica Tandy, to me, was the lady in Titanic before the lady in Titanic. May very well have launched the career of Morgan Freeman. Personally, I think it was his role as the mad scientist from The Electric Company growing up really launched him into superstardom. But who am I to say?
Okay. Well, you're the host of the Perfect Album Side podcast. That's who you are to say.
I guess that is who I am. But the theme, Stone Cold, that's why we're here today.
Yes.
All the tracks on this entire movie score were laid down by Hans Zimmer himself, and not a single live instrument was used. It was all... the whole thing was done electronically using samplers, synthesizers. And when I say the whole thing, let me reemphasize the whole score.
Thing. Wow.
That's right. Was done. No guitars, no drums.
You mentioned some of Hans Zimmer's other work earlier. Refresh my memory. I got was Pirates of the Caribbean.
Lion King.
I love Twister.
Gladiator.
Oh, boy.
Pirates of the Caribbean, as I mentioned. And he's done tons of them.
Yeah.
So I heard this. I'll be honest with you. This song made my Perfect Album side 2 hours ago.
That's incredible.
And I never run up against it like that. I usually try to be a little more diligent. But today, I tried to do it last night. I couldn't find what I was looking for, and I found it this morning. And I know that tune, that one catchy little riff with the penny whistle. Yeah, and it's perfect for this song, or for what this movie is all about and for the title of the movie. This was a huge, huge theme in the late 80s, all the 80s really, nominated for a Grammy Best Score Soundtrack. Lost two. One of my honorable mentions. So stay tuned.
Okay,
Driving from Driving Miss Daisy, Hans Zimmer, 1989 makes my Perfect Album side.
I never thought we'd hear the day when the phrase Driving Miss Daisy has made the Perfect Album side. But today's
that day.
Incredible.
I'm going to give it back to you. I got one more.
I got one more. Yeah. This is the last song on my Perfect Album side.
And this song is not on my Perfect Album side.
Okay.
I'm positive.
All right, let's go.
Okay, I don't know it, but I've got a guess.
You don't know this?
I mean, I've heard it. Is it St. Elmo's Fire?
Yes.
Okay.
I was going to ask you to leave.
No. I've also never seen St. Elmo's Fire.
Stop.
Oh, come on. I thought we were walking step for step here.
I mean, Chariots of Fire, maybe. That was 1981.
I mean, John Parr, Man in Motion. Please, that song rules.
Absolutely.
Yeah, come on, Brat Pack.
The love theme from St. Elmo's Fire, the instrumental version, done by David Foster. 1985, St. Elmo's Fire, a huge movie. Brat Pack, as you mentioned. He is both songwriter and producer on this one. The song actually has two versions. This instrumental version by David Foster, which was actually released as a single, and then there's another one with lyrics performed by Amy Holland and Donnie Gerard, subtitled For Just a Moment. That one was not released as a single. So this one is released as a single. It goes on the charts. It's a legit hit.
Yeah.
On the Billboard Hot 100. It goes to number 15 on the Hot 100 as an instrumental. So this is two or three that we've had, you know, top 20 on the Hot 100 as instrumentals.
Yeah.
And to me, that's crazy.
It's unbelievable, but it shows you how powerful this music is.
We talked about other instrumentals to hit number one, and I think the last one to hit number one we've talked about previously on television theme songs.
Yeah,
which
episode
was the
16.
Miami Vice soundtrack.
That's right.
Also hit number
Jan
one.
Jan Hammer.
So David Foster, a Canadian musician, composer, record producer, music executive. The dude has won 16 Grammys and 47 nominations. This guy is a stud in the music industry.
Huge stud. Those are some big numbers.
He started off as the keyboardist for the pop group Skylark in the early 1970s. They had a tiny hit or two in the early 70s when he was the keyboardist for the band Skylark. I'm sure most of you know him from his work in Skylark.
Oh, their greatest hits album is to die for.
In addition to writing this song, the love theme from St. Elmo's Fire, he also wrote a song that you referenced earlier, St. Elmo's Fire, Man in Motion, which was performed by John Parr, which was a number one
hit. Yeah, that was a
hit.
Huge song.
And that song's always on my workout playlist.
It's on everybody's.
It's so awesome. So he was a producer for the Tubes. He co-wrote the song
She's a Beauty.
Talk to You Later with the Tubes singer. He also worked with Steve Lukather from Toto
as they wrote
Don't Want to Wait Anymore and number 10 hit She's a Beauty by Toto. This dude has worked with everyone in the industry.
Now, I just real quick, you know, I don't do this often.
Interrupt me?
You seem to do it a lot, actually. No, She's a Beauty was by the Tubes, not by Toto.
I'm sorry. I meant the Tubes, not Toto. But he did work with Steve Lukather of the Tubes. But he's worked with everybody from Chicago. He worked on Chicago 16, Chicago 17, Chicago 18. He co-wrote the songs Hard to Say I'm Sorry, Love Me Tomorrow, Stay the Night, You're the Inspiration, as well as The Glory of Love from the Karate Kid 2 soundtrack.
Yeah, there's
Karate
two, Kid 2 soundtrack. Two Peter Cetera's in there. You're the Inspiration. Although, is that Chicago?
Chicago.
Or?
Okay. Like, all four of those songs were Chicago songs. And then he did Peter Cetera with Glory of Love. He worked with Kenny Loggins, Kenny Rogers, Richard Marx, again, John Parr on St. Elmo's Fire, Joni Mitchell, Neil Young, Brian Adams. In addition to this St. Elmo's Fire, which he scored, he also did, I know, one of your favorite movies, The Secret of My Success.
I love that movie.
I know you do. Starring Michael J. Fox, as well as Stealing Home with Mark Harmon and Jodie Foster from 1988. The dude is a badass. He's worked with everyone. And I couldn't figure out where I recognized the name from. David Foster. It's not a household name. But then I realized that he is the guy that married former American Idol contestant and current actress Catherine McPhee.
Oh, no kidding.
Many, many years his junior.
I was going to say, there's got to be a sizable age difference there.
Yes, there is a sizable age difference. They were engaged in June of 2018. And June 28th, 2019, they welcomed their first child, Rennie David, in February 2021, excuse me. So, David Foster, Catherine McPhee, St. Elmo's Fire, John Parr, all the things I just talked about had to make my perfect album side.
The St. Elmo's Fire theme came out what year again?
1985 it was released.
Is it safe to say his wife was not alive when that came out?
Catherine McPhee, I don't know her exact age, but I would assume that she was not born at the time.
Because she would have to be 36, 37 right now, and I don't think she's that age.
I don't know Catherine McPhee's age.
Let's talk about it some more.
Okay. The love theme from St. Elmo's Fire had to make my perfect album side of 1980s movie theme songs. When I think of 1980s, I think of the Brat Pack, and this is one of those songs.
Yeah.
That's it for my perfect album side. What's the last song on yours?
Well, this is kind of my mic drop. As I sometimes,
please don't drop that microphone. It was very expensive.
I'm not touching it. I try to put my sixth song as my absolute mic drop song. I mean, now you know why I didn't put E.T. on my perfect album side. This is, of course, the Raiders March by the aforementioned stud of the musical composing game, John Williams. And the movie? Raiders of the Lost Ark, 1981.
I went back and forth between this song.
I knew you did.
And E.T.
You had to have.
Yeah. It kept me up at night for many nights this week.
Well, Star Wars was my number six had we not reduced it.
Yeah.
This came off the bench in no time. It was easy. We didn't miss a beat. No pun intended.
Obviously, John Williams has made the perfect album side for both E.T. and for Raiders of the Lost Ark. We will have to come to some sort of agreement towards the end of the podcast.
We'll have to grapple, but
yes.
You get something like this. We're playing on the Varsity now. I mean, this is
it.
I mean, everybody knows this song. It's got a very, very recognizable riff. It was in all of the Indiana Jones movies. It's the theme song. It's the heroic song you hear when Indy saves the day or Indy escapes or some incredible rescue. There were originally two different songs, and Spielberg told John Williams, combine them. And he did, and voila, you get Raiders March. There's so much similarity in this song, though, to Star Wars. There's a part in this where it slows down a little bit, and it reminds me so much of Han and Leia from Empire Strikes Back.
Okay.
And if we get to it, I'll certainly point that out.
There it is.
Yep.
It sounds right like here. Princess Leia's theme.
Yes. I mean, it's almost identical.
That's Princess Leia's theme. You're right.
It's almost similar. Identical. I think what's cool about this topic, because it doesn't just remind me of a movie, but this reminds me of a scene. More specifically, this reminds me of an action.
It's the running away from the boulder to me.
Running away from the boulder. Everything he does to rescue Marion, the whip, pulling off the medallion, all that stuff is this music.
And it reminds me of he and Sean Connery riding off into the sunset at the end of The Last Crusade.
Which I love.
It's the best of the four.
You hear that intro, it's powerful, but for this topic, this decade, this is my favorite. The movie itself, the franchise, to me, it's a stop what you're doing. I mean, this movie's always on TV, but it's a stop what you're doing type of movie and watch. Raiders is my favorite. Crusade is my next favorite.
Yeah.
And believe it or not, Kingdom Skull is my third favorite. I like Temple of Doom, but Temple of Doom sucks. Yeah, I mean, I'm not a huge Temple of Doom fan.
No one is.
And another movie, I didn't want to say this a minute ago, Dan Aykroyd has found himself slipping into when Indy and Short Round and the singer...
Don't know.
The lounge singer.
Yeah, I don't know.
They leave Club Obi-Wan.
Yeah, Club Obi-Wan, right.
And they jump on the plane.
Yes.
Dan Aykroyd is there to greet them and get them on the plane.
Of course he is.
Isn't that amazing?
He's sneaky as fuck.
How is that?
I don't know.
I didn't really think about it, but this is an epic theme from the 80s. I mean, we don't need to run through John Williams again, but I mean, it's got his signature. This sounds so much like the Star Wars stuff, which I'm not complaining. I think it's amazing, but I had to make my perfect album side as I ramp back up here to that familiar riff that everybody knows. You know, in some of these songs, I mean, you could take a 5-second snippet.
Well, that's...
And everybody's like, got it.
There's the one part of this song, the dun-da-da! Yeah. Like, you hear that, and you instantly picture Harrison Ford with a whip.
Yeah.
There it is.
Stone Cold, Raiders March, from 1981, Raiders of the Lost Ark, John Williams makes my perfect album side and completes my perfect album side. I just pressed pause.
You cut it off early, but that's okay.
Well, I didn't want it to run into some of my honorables.
I mean, okay.
I feel like I just gave birth. Here we go. Are you ready?
May I have
There's
your
my parchment.
Parchment of perfect album side. I have given you mine. Fortunately for us, this is going to be pretty easy as several of our selections overlapped. Hence, they made the perfect album side. As I mentioned, I really tossed and turned over E.T. versus Raiders March from Raiders of the Lost Ark. Both phenomenal.
Pieces of music. Instantly recognizable. Feel good. Feel good riffs, feel good songs.
All right, let us build the perfect album side. Before we do, we tweeted out right before we got on air. We're not on the air, but you know what I mean.
I say on air, that's fine.
Right before we began recording this episode, We tweeted out, hey, send us a JPEG or a GIF. And we got a few responses. And lucky for us, the first one we got was Top Gun, although they said Highway to the Danger Zone, which would not have qualified. That's the Kenny Loggins pop tune. Yep. We were looking for instrumental scores, but Top Gun, we get the point. And then one of our regular listeners and good friend of the program, Harry Spiegelman,
yes,
mentioned Chariots of Fire as well as Indiana Jones.
So we're looking pretty good.
Yeah. All right. So here we go.
What about your honorables?
My honorable mentions. Yeah. A couple of them I wanted to play. I think we both talked about this one, so I felt it necessary to play.
Had to.
Axel F. from Beverly Hills Cop, from the Beverly Hills Cop series. This one had to be talked about. Another honorable mention for me was another John Williams thing.
I don't know the answer to this, but I'm going to ask it. Is this 80s? I thought this was... Is this right at 80?
It could be 79, but I think it's 1980.
Yeah, and
if it's 70s, I'm going to feel terrible.
No. I think it may be right at 80.
Close Encounters of the Third Kind. And then Harold Faltermeyer.
Love it.
The music from Fletch.
Dang, that should have made my perfect album side.
The more I thought about it, I was like, this one is probably my favorite movie.
It definitely should have made my perfect album side.
Those were my honorable mentions in addition to On Golden Pond. I just really like that movie, so I always think of the music. But that's what I got. What do you got?
I just have a couple. This is a tough one. This is Glory.
From the movie Glory?
From the movie Glory.
Matthew Broderick?
Denzel.
And Morgan Freeman.
Morgan Freeman, that's exactly
right.
Full
circle.
I love this movie. Talk about a feel-good movie. This is at the very end after they charge Fort, not Stewart, but Fort, I can't remember. Here's another one. I don't think this one would qualify because it's got a little bit of vocals.
Oh, boy.
But you've already mentioned the movie that it's from, and it's from another 80s movie.
Go on.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if this would have fully qualified. There's no lead vocals, really, so...
It's on The Secret of My Success.
It sure is. And?
I don't know.
Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
With the Ferrari.
That's right.
Son of a bitch. Okay.
So I don't think this would have qualified, but everybody knows this song. Actually, it was a big radio hit.
Yeah.
But just a couple of honorable mentions. I had Trading Places. I had Coming to America as well. Theme songs from those movies on.
I can't think of either one of those theme songs, but I believe you.
You've heard them both.
The other one I have, which it didn't make the perfect album side because it's a bigger hit with vocals than without, but it was released two different ways.
I'm intrigued. Instantly.
Speaking of Dan Aykroyd.
Again.
Ghostbusters.
Yeah. This is the Dan Aykroyd episode of the Perfect Albumside podcast.
Yeah, he'll be so happy. They did two different versions of Ghostbusters. One with
vocals. Yeah, I've never heard the non-vocals. I mean, obviously, it's the same, but I've never heard the non-vocals.
It's really not that good. That's it as far as honorable mentions. We talked about the tweets. We got some agreement there. Let's build the Perfect album side. First of all, we had four crossover, which that's the most we've had in a very long time.
Yeah.
Very long time. Track one would be Top Gun by Harold Faltermeyer and Steve Stevens, the Top Gun anthem. The theme from Batman by Danny Elfman. The theme from Back to the Future by Alvin Silvestri. Chariots of Fire by
Vangelis.
May he rest in peace. And now we've got two spots left for the Perfect album side. Let's do what we do. Let's start by ruling one out this time. Take a look at my Perfect album side. I will take a look at yours and rule one out. You go for it.
Well, if I ever rule John Williams out of anything, let lightning strike me.
I was going to say, if you ruled that out, we'd have...
And there's really only one. So, I mean, I hate to say rule out, as you know, love theme from St. Elmo's Fire.
That's understandable. And as I look at yours, to me, it's obvious. It's Driving by Hans Zimmer from Driving Miss Daisy.
That's fair.
It's just not up to snuff compared to the rest of them.
Yep, I get it.
Same thing with
Punch Me in the Gut, no problem.
So that leaves us, we got to fit one of these spots with John Williams, and it's either E.T., The Extraterrestrial, or Raiders March by John Williams. It's rare that I'm going to do this.
Oh, I love where you're going with this. You're rarely humble, so here we go.
To me, it's Indiana Jones and Raiders of the Lost Ark, Raiders March.
I love E.T. I love the story you told about it, and I love the credibility that John Williams has in that movie, But to me, Raiders of the Lost Ark, that one 7 or 8 second riff is unmistakable.
Unfortunately, that only leaves us with one song, to my knowledge.
Okay, we could be in some real trouble then.
We are in real trouble because you roll one out, I roll one out, which was a bad idea. Now we only have E.T. left over, and E.T. is so much better.
Is that right? That's the only song we have that's open-ended right now?
That is correct.
Because Future, Top Gun, Batman, Chariots are on. You cut out Driving, and we have Raiders on there. Oh my gosh.
You know what?
Welcome to Perfect Album Side History.
Perfect Album Side Hell is what I would call it, because in my opinion, we're going to break the rules.
And it would only be because of one man.
John effing Williams.
John Tiberius Williams.
John Williams has made the Perfect Album Side. He's got two songs on the Perfect Album Side of 1980s.
And it's worthy. He's worthy of that.
It is so rare that we will break the rules, but we've done it once before with Queen, and We Will Rock You, and We Are the Champions, where we put both of them on the Perfect Album Side.
Yes.
Of sports anthems.
Sports anthems. Now, I will say in that situation, those two songs went together like peas and carrots.
Of course, but there's just no way that Driving by Hans Zimmer nor St. Elmo's Fire was going to beat out E.T. It's just not going to happen.
I love it. Raiders. It's deserving.
The Perfect Album Side of 1980s movie theme songs: Top Gun, Batman, Back to the Future, Chariots of Fire by Vangelis. Rest in peace. John Williams with Raiders March from Raiders of the Lost Ark, and E.T. Flying from the movie E.T. by John Williams. No one on earth could argue that this is not the Perfect Album Side.
I totally agree. And I love the fact that each of those songs or themes or compositions you know instantly. And each one is identified by a particular riff that is... Everybody knows. I love that. I think we did our job.
We absolutely did our job. That's it. If you haven't done so already, you're enjoying the podcast, subscribe, like, Facebook, MySpace, Twitter, all those things. Check them out. We'll be back, I think, next week. Maybe not.
We'll be back next week.
We'll be back next week with a topic to be determined.
Keep everybody guessing. Make them want more.
You know what? Shoot us a tweet. Let us know what we should do.
I love that.
Unless it's, of course, go jump off a bridge.
Well, we get enough of those.
Yeah. Good Perfect Album Side, my man.
Hey, awesome, man. This was great.
Later, dude.
See ya.
This has been the Perfect Album Side. See you next time.